Woo!
Man. If I had put so much time in this message, we could just say amen. We got to hear the word of God, amen. Hey, listen, before we jump into it, if you're a member of the military in any branch whatsoever, if you serve in the armed force, would you please stand? Would you please stand? We know it's Memorial Day, but listen, thank you. Whether you're active, whether you're a veteran, please stand. Listen, thank you. My wife will tell you, sometimes I do it in an awkward way for her, but like if I see a military veteran or an active service member, I stop what I'm doing. I am so thankful for all of you for your service. Listen, I learned a long time ago, if it wasn't for our military, we'd be speaking German, right? And so thank you for your service. Thank you for your service as we remember those who paid the ultimate sacrifice. As you take your Bible, if you don't have a Bible, maybe you forgot your Bible, there's some on the table right here at the back door. Be sure to get your Bible and put your hands on it so you can flip pages and you can mark it up and highlight it, because we're going to be in the Word of God today. As you're taking your copy, turn to Malachi chapter 3. And if just find the Gospels, like if you find Matthew, just go back to the left one book and you'll be in Malachi as we stand to our feet. Hey, I want to remind you, I want to echo what Pastor Brian said, that next week we'll be celebrating believers' baptism. So I know we've had salvation since our last baptism. I want you to get signed up at the welcome table, or you can go online and sign up. Whatever you do, get signed up, because we want to celebrate that very, very special day in the life of your journey with the Lord, and that is next week. Be sure to invite your family and your friends for that very, very special occasion. All right, we're going to read Malachi chapter 3, and we're going to begin in verse 8. This is what the scripture says. It says, will a man rob God? Yet you are robbing me, the Lord said. But you say, how have we robbed you? The Lord said, in tithes and offerings. You are cursed with a curse, for you are robbing me, the whole nation of you. Bring the whole tithe into the storehouse. Evidently, they were just tipping God. Bring the whole tithe into the storehouse so that there may be food in my house, and test me now in this, says the Lord of hosts. If I will not open for you the windows of heaven and pour out for you a blessing until it overflows, then I will rebuke the devourer for you so that it will not destroy the fruits of the ground, nor will your vine in the field cast its grapes, says the Lord of hosts. All the nations will call you blessed, for you shall be a delightful land, says the Lord of hosts. You may be seated. Today, we will conclude our What It Means series. I know many of you say, whoa, man, finally. But again, we're only 5 months old, soon to be 6 months old, and I've just been laying a foundation upon which our church will be built on and is built on, according to the Word of God, so that when you people ask you what do y'all believe at your church, you will know. And so we conclude that today, and I save the best and the most exciting for last. Amen. Yes. I've done this a long time. I told our communications director, I said, listen, don't post what the message is going to be about this week. I said, one is Memorial Day weekend, the lowest attended Sunday of the year, and if you throw tithing at them, man, that's like, oh God. So, but no, listen, I want to talk to you about what it means to tithe. What it means to tithe. And I want to preface this by saying that many pastors will make the mistake of preaching on tithing when the church is going through a financial hardship. And they do it to raise the giving. And that's not the case here. I don't believe in doing that. Here at Encounter Church, this will be the third church I've planted. And the last church, by the way. Pastor, are you going to retire? Yes, when you hear my chin hit the floor. So this is it. This is it for me. But at Encounter Church, we are as financially healthy as any church that I've ever been a part of at 6 months in. Yes, says our finance. Yes. So it's a result of your faithfulness to the scriptures when it comes to supporting the Lord's work here at Encounter Church. And when God called me to plant Encounter Church, I wrestled and I struggled. I'll be honest with you. I was comfortable where I was at. And but when I finally said, yes, Lord, I'll follow you on this journey. This is what I told him. I said, God, I'm going to trust you for the people and for the provisions. And he's been faithful. He has been so faithful. So faithful to send amazing, amazing people. And he has provided in a miraculous way, to be quite honest with you. And you may be wondering, so, well, Pastor, if it's so good, if we're so healthy financially, why are you preaching about tithing? Well, as I've said the last few weeks, I promised the Lord that I would not shy away from sensitive subjects when it comes to the scriptures. And nothing is talked about as much, not from the pulpit, but among people when it comes to tithing, and it's not in a favorable way, but I've got to preach the whole counsel of God. And but more so, or equally, I want to help. I want to help you because you are very generous. I want to help you make the connection between your generosity, between your tithing, and the favor and blessings of God that's on your life. I want you to help understand. I want you to connect those two because there is a connection. Somebody say, well, you know, I used to say this too. Listen, I don't give. I don't tithe expecting God to give. I don't do it because I'm expecting God to bless me. Yeah, you are. Yeah, we are. Because God just said it. He said, test me and see if I will not open the floodgates, open the windows of heaven and pour out a blessing on you to overflowing. So we do it because God said that he would if we do. Amen? And so, yeah, we do. We do expect God to fulfill his promises. But what I've learned over the many years of pastoring is the majority of Christians give to the church because that's just what you do when you go to church, right? We raise our kids that way. When they're in children's church, we give them all a dollar and say, hey, put this in the offering in children's church. And we never really explain to them what that actually means and the importance of that. Heard a story about a husband and a wife. They were in the kitchen, and the husband was sitting at the kitchen table reading the newspaper while his wife was preparing a ham for dinner. The husband watched his wife cut off about an inch from either end of the ham. He asked why she cut off each end, proclaiming that that's a waste of good ham. She said, well, that's the way my mother prepared the ham. The husband asked, well, why did your mother cut the ends off of the ham? And she said, well, I really don't know. And so later, after dinner, she called her mother to find out why she cuts the end off the ham. And her mother said, well, because that's the way my mother did it. So she called her grandmother. She said, grandmother, why do you cut the ends off the ham before you put it in the oven? And she said, so it will fit in the baking pan. You see, we do things because we saw our granddaddy do it or our grandmother do it. We saw them give it to church, and we that's just what we do. And listen, it's coming from a good place. It's giving with good intentions. But they really don't understand, most Christians really don't understand the spiritual significance of why we give. Now, there's always going to be those that all they ever talk about down at the church is money. Well, listen, I only preach about tithing once a year. So maybe I should start preaching more about church attendance. If you're only hearing me preach about money, that's an indictment on your church attendance. But listen, 272 verses in the Bible are on faith. 271 verses on prayer. 714 verses on love. 2,162 verses in the Bible on giving. I believe God's trying to get a message to us. I believe there's a very, very important link between giving and our spiritual health. So you got those that all they talk about down at the church is money. And then you've got those that says, well, tithing is in the Old Testament. It's under the law. It's not for New Testament believers. Well, so is thou shalt not murder. Is it okay that we murder? We want to obey that, right? Or thou shalt not steal. But listen, that mindset is not exactly right either. Tithing was practiced long before God gave Moses the law. Look at Hebrews 7, 5 through 9. Now stick with me because this can be a little confusing. I'll kind of explain it along the way. And those indeed of the sons of Levi, now the Levi was the priesthood of Israel, the Leviticans, so who received the priest's office, have commandment in the law to collect a tenth from the people, that is from their brethren. Although these are descended from Abraham, but the one whose genealogy is not traced from them collected a tenth from Abraham. If you look at verse 4, it's talking about the high priest Melchizedek. And he is a representation of Christ. And so what they're saying is the one that his genealogy is not even is traced from them, that Abraham gave a tenth of all that he had and all of his income. He gave a tenth to Melchizedek and blessed the one who had the promise. In other words, the high priest blessed Abraham who had the promise, and he blessed him because he gave a tenth of all of his produce. But without any dispute, the lesser is blessed by the greater. In this case, mortal men receive tithes, but in that case, one receives them, of whom it is witnessed that lives on. Again, talking about Christ. And so to speak, through Abraham, even Levi, who received tithes, paid tithes. Now listen, Abraham was walking this earth and paying tithes 500 years before the law. So that, oh, it's Old Testament law and we don't have it, that's not meant for us anymore. Oh no, 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 no. It's part of the, it's a principle that God has called us to follow. I'm going to give you a New Testament reference right from the mouth of Jesus. Luke 11, 42. Jesus says, but woe to you, Pharisees, for you pay tithe of mint and rue and every kind of garden herb, and yet disregard justice and the love of God. Now listen, but these are the things you should have done without neglecting the others. They would go into their garden, and if they pulled 10 stems of mint, they would set one aside for the church. And if they picked 10 heads of cabbage or whatever, they would take 9 for them and 1 for the church or for the Lord. But what Jesus is saying is like, you're doing right there. But really you should be focused on justice, living a just life and loving God also as you tithe. Don't neglect tithing, but they've made it a legalistic, begrudgingly I give, this is what we do, and I'm earning my way into heaven. That's not what tithing is about. What if I told you that tithing really is not about money? What if I told you that tithing is more about your relationship with God? So I want to talk to you for a moment about what it means to tithe. The first thing I want you to know is that tithing is a test. It's a test. Verse 10 says, bring the whole tithe. Again, they must have been just tipping God. He said, bring the whole tithe into the storehouse so that there may be food in my house, and test me now in this, says the Lord of hosts. God says, test me. The word tithe simply means a tenth part. A tenth part. Throughout Scripture, this is very interesting. Throughout Scripture, the number 10 represents testing. I'm going to give you a test. I'm going to ask you some questions, and you just respond with the answer. How many plagues did God place on Egypt? 10, yeah. All right, somebody's got it. By the way, all the answers are the same. Just so you know. So, again, how many plagues did God place on Egypt? How many commandments did he give us? How many tests did he place on the Israelites in the wilderness? How many times did Jacob's father-in-law change his wages? How many disciples were there? Whoa, there were 12 disciples, just a test. Numbers 14 and 22 tells us that God had 10 tests that he placed on the Israelites when they were in the wilderness. In Genesis 31 and 7, Jacob was talking to his wife and said, your father had changed my wages 10 times. And basically when God was testing testing Pharaoh's heart. He tests our hearts with the commandments. He tests the Israelites in the wilderness. He tests their hearts and Jacob's heart. Listen, tithing is a testing of your heart. The Bible says that where your treasure is, what? There your heart will be also. So let me paraphrase. Where your money is, that's where your heart's at. I've said for years, you can look at my checkbook, I can look at your checkbook or your bank statement, and it would show where your heart is. It's wherever we invest the most money. It's wherever we spend the most money. So every payday is test day. Every payday, we have a test. What are we going to do with the first 10% of our income? That would be the tithe. What we do with that will determine if we pass or if we fail. Whether we are blessed or whether we are cursed. Verse 9 said, because they robbed God, says, you are cursed with a curse, for you are robbing me. Here's what I know. Givers, I've witnessed this my whole life. I know many of you have as well. Givers always have more than enough. Takers never have enough. Because when we take, it's all about us. But when we give, it's always about somebody else. Who are you giving to? Givers always have more than enough. If God can't get it through you, he won't give it to you. He said, robbing. What did God mean by you're robbing me? Let's ask you a question. Do you think God needs our money? Do you think that God, let me be clear. The scripture says bring the tithe into the storehouse, which is a local church where you worship at. But if you don't, God's going to provide. Like, it's not about, I got to pay. The preacher's got to get paid. The lights got to. No. That's not what it's about. He said, you're robbing me. And what he means by what are we robbing him of? He so desperately wants to bless you. He can't bless you if you don't honor him with the tithe. So just like with my children and your children as well, you really, really enjoy blessing your children. But unlike God, we have a tendency to bless bad behavior. Oh, just give it to them anyway. You know, they tried hard. No, God says, you're robbing me because I want to open the windows of heaven. And I want to pour out such a blessing on you. But I can't. You're robbing me of that joy. You're robbing me of that blessing of being able to bless you because you're holding on to the tithe. You're not giving. You're not following that principle. Not only does God test us when it comes to the tithe, but he also challenged us to test him. The only place in the Bible, only place in the scripture where God says to test me is in the area of giving. The only place. I think that's a major significant point in and of itself. Now look, verse 10, God said, test me now in this. In what? In the tithe. In the giving. If I will not open for you the windows of heaven and pour out for you a blessing until it overflows. What does that mean, Pastor? It means he'll pour out such a blessing on you, you can't handle it. It'll be overwhelming. Listen, you can't outgive God. When the more he blesses you, the more you give, your life is going to be enhanced. Your life is going to be blessed beyond measure just in the margins. Just in the overflow, the excess, because you can't outgive God. People say, well, PC, I can't afford to tithe. Here's always going to be my response. I'm going to give it to you now. You can't afford not to. If you want God's blessings and favor on your life in a way like you won't get it any other way, you've got to honor him with the tithe. So you can't afford not to. You say, well, PC, if I'm going to tithe then, do I tithe on my gross income, or do I tithe on my net income? My response has been the same for years. Do you want a gross blessing, or do you want a net blessing? It's up to you. But the tithe is the first 10% of your gross. That's biblical tithing. Now, people, here's where a lot of people go wrong. I didn't know this for years. I probably learned this in the last 10 years. I can't bring my tithe to the church because that tithe is holy, which means what? Set apart for God's purposes. It belongs to God. In fact, all of it belongs to God. I can't give my tithe to the church and dictate where it goes. Hey, here's my tithe. I want it to go to the children's ministry. Right. That's not your decision or my decision to make. That's God's decision. That's his tithe. That's his money. We have no control over that. We're just to bring it to the storehouse. Well, I don't know what they're doing with that. Listen. You just be obedient to God. He'll deal with anything just not being handled properly. You're letting the devil get in your mind now. No, you got to trust. You got to trust that God has got, you just got to be obedient. When we tithe, this is what we're saying. God, you're first place in my life. You're the most important thing in my life, person in my life. God, you're more important than any amount of money. You're more important to me than anything money can buy. And then we're saying, Lord, when we give our tithe, whether we verbally say it or not, this is what we're saying to God. Thank you for the provisions. Thank you, Lord, for taking care of me. And then we're simply saying, Lord, I just want to worship you with what you've blessed me with. You hear me say, we'll conclude our worship by receiving an offering because giving is worship. But Pastor, I earned it. It's mine. I can do with it whatever I want to. Well, you can. You can. But it all belongs to God. The 10%? No, the whole 100%. Psalm 24 and 1 says, the earth is the Lord's and all it contains, the world and those who dwell in it. It's all God's. But I earned it, Pastor. Well, who do you think gave you the ability to go to work? Who do you think gave you the strength to do what you do? Who do you think gave you the intelligence to do what you do? He could take that away like that. It all belongs to God. And the last deep theological study I did on all meant all. All of it belongs to God. I love what Adrian Rogers said. He says, tithing is not God's way of raising money. He owns everything. Tithing is God's way to grow Christians. Tithing, ladies and gentlemen, is a test. It's a test of our hearts. And tithing, number two, is trusting. Not only is tithing a test, but tithing is trusting. One of the best ways to get a barometer, get a temperature, if you will, on your spiritual health, on your strength of your faith, and if you're growing in your faith, is do you trust God with your finances? You see, God challenges us to test him so that we can learn to trust him. Psalm 32 and 10 says, many are the sorrows of the wicked, but he who trusts in the Lord, loving kindness shall surround him. You see, the wicked, they don't trust God. They don't even love God. They don't even care about God. They don't even know God. But those who trust in the Lord, it says, loving kindness shall surround them. Let me tell you something. You can give without loving, but you can't love without giving. Just look at those children, and especially those grandchildren, right? We give to what we love. And if we love the Lord and what God is doing, we're going to give to that. But here's what I know about some Christians. Not any in here. Here's what I know. That some people, when it comes to giving, they stop at nothing. They don't trust God. Some Christians, when it comes to giving, they've got this terrible, terrible disease because they lack giving. It's called cirrhosis of the giver. They just simply don't trust God with their finances. They'll come in here and, God, I give you my life, but you can't have the 10% of my finances. I'm just preaching the book. Listen. Proverbs 3 and 5. Trust in the Lord, what does it say? With all your heart. All your heart. And do not lean on your own understanding. Let me take, for you numbers people, I'm a numbers guy. Tithing makes no mathematical sense. That's why your CPA will always question it. Because it just don't make sense. If it made sense, then we wouldn't have to trust God. You make investments in the stock market. You make investments in real estate. Why? Because it just makes sense to do that. Whatever it is. Tithing, mathematically, the number, like, it just doesn't make sense. If you tithe biblically. But listen, there is a promise of God attached to the tithe. And he that promised, he's faithful. He will follow through. Look at 9 and 10 of Proverbs 3. It says, honor the Lord with your wealth. And from the first, there's the tithe, of all your produce. Why? So that your barns will be filled with plenty and your vats will overflow with new wine. When we honor God with our wealth, He promises us that He will respond and that your barns, which He's talking about there, is basically like your bank account will be, you'll be covered. Now let me make something clear. We can be obedient to God. Okay, so we got 10 areas in our life. If we're obedient to God in 9 of those 10, and the 10th one being the tithe, we're not obedient. God's going to honor these 9 things, but He will not honor the disobedience to the tithe. Does that make sense? It's not, we're obedient in this area, God covers and blesses all areas. No, He doesn't operate. He don't operate like we do. Again, we'll bless bad behavior. But no, God blesses obedience. Look at, it says tithing, again, it's not really about money. It's about trusting God. Always remember that. Can you trust God with your finances? Yes. And then lastly, tithing is a testimony. So not only is tithing a test, and tithing is trusting God. It's a test of our heart. Do we trust God? And lastly, tithing is a testimony. Verse 12 says, all the nations will call you blessed, for you shall be a delightful land, says the Lord of hosts. Listen, when you are a biblical tither, when you trust God, when you pass the test, you trust God with your finances, you're honoring Him. The evidence, the proof of that will be evident in your life, and others will see, even in a horrible economy, the favor of God will be on your life, and it'll be a testimony to His goodness, and to His faithfulness, and to His favor. And it doesn't make sense to people. And they'll say, I don't understand how, like, I'm over here, you know, just hanging on, and you don't boastfully say it, but you just say, I mean, like, I just trust God with my finances. What does that mean? Well, I've just honored God with the tithe. I give Him 10%. And because that's what He's told me to do, and I just want to please Him. And all I can say is, ever since I started doing that, this is what happens. Like, there's nothing special about me. I just want to be obedient. It's all the specialty goes to God. I love what John D. Rockefeller said. He said, I never would have been able to tithe the first $1 million I ever made if I had not tithed my first salary, which was $1.50 a week. Pastors, if I hit the lottery, I promise I'm gonna give 10%. No, you won't. You don't give now. Why are you gonna? You gotta. It's not about the money. It's not about the amount. Let me tell you what blesses God. 10% of $10,000. Tell you what else blesses God equally. 10% of $100. 10% of $10. 10% of a dollar. It's obedience and trusting God and thanking God. I worship You with what I have. You're first place in my life. And let me tell you something. God will bless the person who gives 10% of $100 if that's all they have, as much as He will the guy that gives a tithe on $100,000. Because that's who God is. God blesses obedience. And listen, whatever you want God to honor, you first have to honor Him with it. If you want God to honor your marriage, you got to honor God with your marriage. You want God to honor your business, you've got to honor God with your business. You want God to honor your finances, you've got to honor God with your finances. Verse 11 says, then I will rebuke, God said, the devourer for you so that it will not destroy the fruits of the ground, nor will your vine in the field cast its grapes, says the Lord of hosts. Now, what does God mean, I will rebuke the devourer? In that day, their economic hub, their source of income, their livelihood was tied to farming. And they constantly battled blight, drought, locusts, and all these other elements and insects that were seeking to destroy their source of income. And God says, because you honor me with your wealth, with the tithe, I will rebuke that devourer. I will hold him off. That's why people are faithful to the Lord and they're giving of their tithe, they're walking with God, even in a terrible economy, that God's favor's just on their life. Why? Because he's rebuking the devourer. Now listen, it was a supernatural protection over their source of income because they were faithful with the tithe. He said, you bring it in, see if I won't bless you beyond anything you can handle. And on top of that, I'll rebuke the devourer, the one that's trying to destroy your source of income. I don't care how high inflation gets. I'm still going to take care of you because you're mine. You're pleasing to me because you're wanting to please me. Listen, for us, it means God will provide a supernatural protection over us. Listen, there'll be things that God covers and protects that we have no idea that is saving us a tremendous amount of money. Let me give you an example. First of all, it's not always an unexpected check in the mail. That does happen. And those of you who've experienced that can testify to that. But it's not always an unexpected check in the mail. Sometimes that vehicle that's got an extraordinary amount of miles on it is still running good and smooth. God's favored that. You didn't have to buy a new vehicle. You didn't have to rebuild the engine. He's covered it. He's rebuked the devourer. Listen, you don't have to get a new set of tires. Maybe you're getting twice the amount of miles out of tires, because I really, to be honest with you, if you said, Pastor, how many miles you got on your tires? I have no idea. Nobody does, except for the guy that wants to sell you some tires. And he'll lie to you about that. I hope I have no tire salesman here. But, so, for all I know, I could have twice as many miles on that set of tires that the manufacturer said I should have. Why? Because God is protecting. He's given me longer life out of them, so I don't have to spend that extra money. You remember when most people don't even realize this, but in the Old Testament, in Exodus, when the Israelites were in the wilderness for 40 years, as they grew, as their feet grew, their shoes grew with it. Check it out. They didn't have to make new shoes or buy new shoes, and every time they turned around, no. As their feet grew, the shoes, God provided. They were in the wilderness. They didn't have to buy those new shoes. Maybe they didn't have the money to buy them. I don't know, but God provided. Listen, your water heater may be lasting. Only time I ever think about the water heater not working is when I take a cold shower. I don't know how long that water heater lasts, but I ain't had to buy one. I'm just saying, those are that old lawnmower. Everybody laughs at it and makes fun of it. Still cuts as good as these new ones. You don't have to go out and buy it. Maybe you're relatively healthy. You don't have to go to the doctor quite as often. Maybe you don't have to spend those copays. I'm just saying, those are just a few testimonies of the goodness of God on a person's life who has connected directly their obedience to the tithe and God's favor and blessings on our life. Now, let me make this suggestion. Eventually, that old truck's going to break down. Eventually, you're going to need a new set of tires. And eventually, we're going to get sick, because those are all products of a fallen world, a broken world that we live in. But I will tell you this, God's favoring it. God's favoring you in the midst of that. And I want to close with this. The reason many Christians have financial problems is because they fail to do the most important thing first. That is to obey and honor God with their finances, with their wealth. Now, I've got to be very clear when I say this. God is going to bless you when you tithe. But what will hinder the blessing is irresponsibility with the 90%. You don't pay your bills. You don't pay your power bill. Guess what? The power's going to get cut off. God's not going to supernaturally just give you power. Now, you can't be irresponsible with the 90%, although you're tithing, expect God is. No, listen, let me give you a scripture. Matthew 6 and 33, it says, "But seek first his kingdom and his righteousness." To be right with God, we must be right by other people. And if I owe something, I've got to pay something. I got to pay that person. But if I'm just spending it on me and what I want to do and I'm not taking care of my bills, that's not being righteous. That's not being right. That's not. And so it's going to hinder God's ability to bless you like he wants to bless you. Psalm 37 and 25. Look at what scripture says. Dave, I said it earlier. "I've been young and now I'm old, yet I have not seen the righteous forsaken." Never. He's an old man now. He's been a man of God. He's led people of God his entire life. And he said, "I've watched the economy. I've seen the terrible presidential administration. I've watched the people of God go through every bit of that. But I've never, ever seen God forsake them." Oh, don't miss this. Put that text back up there, guys. It said, "Or his descendants begging bread." What does that mean? He saw people begging for food, but he never saw God's people do it. Those that were faithful, those that were righteous. He said, "I've never seen the righteous." They're right with God. They're honoring God. He said, when you do that, God's not going to forsake you. God's going to bless. Even your children after you are going to be favored. They're going to be blessed. I'm going to give you a test here. I'm going to challenge you, rather. I'm going to give you a challenge. I've done this for years. If you're not a tither, I'm going to challenge you to try it for 90 days. 10%, biblical tithing, 10% of your gross income. And again, church is healthy financially. It's not any about that. I just want God's blessings to be on your life, and I want you to see it. 90 days, I want you to try it. If you don't see a difference, you come to me. We'll reimburse you every penny. I've said that for years. My wife will attest to that. Never had to give one penny back. Because God will prove himself. You trust him. You test him. You'll have a testimony. Philippians 4:19 says that when we put God first in every area of our lives, Paul, before he said this in verse 18, he had received an offering from the church to support the work that he was doing, and he wrote back and he said, I am well supplied because of your generosity. He said, and my God will supply all your needs according to his riches in glory in Christ Jesus. So when we test God in the area of tithes, when we trust him with our finances, and we testify to the goodness and faithfulness of God as a result, our text, verse 10, said that he will open for you the windows of heaven and pour out for you a blessing until it overflows. Let's pray together. Father, we love you, and Thank you, Lord, for your faithfulness. Thank you, God, for your promises, for they are true. I thank you, Lord, for God, how, Lord, I thank you for the challenge of testing you in the area of giving, because, Lord, I've seen you time and time and time again show yourself to be faithful to those who test you. Because, God, I know your ultimate goal is for us to trust you with every area of our lives, especially in the area of our finances and our giving. We know that that's such a stronghold on our lives. God, until we surrender that over to you, and God, we will be able to do more. You will bless and do more with the 90% than we could ever do with the 100% on our own. And so, Lord, right now I pray that this word has found a resting place in the hearts of your people. And God, I do thank you again, Lord, as I did this morning in my quiet time early this morning. Lord, I thank you for the generosity of these amazing people. And God, I see the blessings all over their life. God, I want them to make the connection and understand it's connected to their giving, to their tithing. But Lord, if there's somebody here that, Lord, they're not quite there yet, I pray, Lord, that they will test you. Because, Lord, they can trust you. And that's my prayer. And every head's bowed and every eye's closed. I know this is a message on tithing, but I know that God can use anything, any word, any conversation, any song to penetrate the hearts of people. I'm talking about things today that are God is expecting his children, his people, to be obedient to. But you may be here and you've never really placed your faith in Christ. You've never truly accepted Christ. But through this message, through the music, through the fellowship, through God, a conversation, whatever it may be, you realize that you desperately